Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, celebrating the Aliento Tequila photo exhibit with a tequila tasting and other entertainment, November 8th, 6 to 9 p.m. Ticket info and more at texancultures.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Five San Antonio nursing homes have been flagged for alleged instances of abuse and neglect of their residents. The five nursing homes were cited for several problems, including neglect of medical needs, physical, verbal, or sexual abuse. We're with us today to talk about that. We're joined by Lara Garcia. She is covering healthcare industry for the San Antonio and Bexar County for the San Antonio Express News. And Lauren Caruba, it covers healthcare and medicine for the San Antonio Express News. Our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. If you have a question or comment about nursing homes and their quality here locally, if you have something you want to tell us, give us a call, 210-614-8980. We do ask that you keep the name of the nursing home, you know, out of it, because it would be unfair to do that without an opportunity to check it out. So 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. Lara Garcia, can you tell me more about what you found? What discoveries?
Yeah, so actually Lauren found the idea that the government was doing this new thing where they were going to start flagging homes for that had a history of abuse or neglect. And we started digging into it a little bit more. I work on the business side and she works on the metro side. And we found that of the 68 nursing homes in San Antonio, five had these examples of just really terrible neglect. And so as we were digging into these statements, it was just, you know, it was hard to read, and we really wanted to see if we can get that out there and report on how you can look up these instances.
This is publicly available information that people should be able to use and make decisions based upon that. CMS, is that Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services?
Yes. CMS is an arm of the federal government, and you know, nursing homes and hospitals have to comply with state regulations as well as federal regulations. Yeah. So sometimes you can see state inspectors stepping in, and CMS also, you know, makes sure that nursing homes are following their standards in order to participate in Medicare and Medicaid. So this information that we based our reporting on comes from CMS's website. It's called Nursing Home Compare, and you can look up any nursing home that participates in Medicare and Medicaid on that website. You can look by zip code, you can look by the facility name, you can look by city, county, state. It's very easy to find information, and what that website does is provide very detailed information about nursing homes. So it rates them on a five-star scale, five being the best, one being the worst, for several different types of measures, for health inspections, for quality measures, so how well the residents are taken care of, and for staffing levels. Mm-hmm. And then there's an overall score as well. So that flagging system has been added to that website. So it's a little icon.
A red flag, right?
Yeah, it's like a red circle with a mm-hmm. raised hand on it. And so that kind of signals to consumers that there has been a recent instance of abuse or neglect within the past year where a patient was harmed, or where a patient could have been harmed within each of the past 2 years.
So, and Lauren, so your reporting highlights five nursing homes here locally. Which ones are those?
So those are Retama Manor Nursing Center, San Antonio West, San Pedro Manor, River City Care Center, Southeast Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, and Senior Care of Windcrest. And so for a couple of those facilities, there's multiple instances, and for a couple, it's only one instance. But, mm-hmm. You know, all of this is recent. When we were doing this story, we looked at and read the inspection reports for these facilities for the past calendar year.
So are these... Is there a criminal investigation based upon these violations?
Not as far as we can tell. Usually what happens in these types of scenarios is that, you know, the state inspectors come in. They come in and do regular health inspections, and then they also do inspections in response to complaints. And so usually it's state inspectors who are coming in and doing the actual on-the-ground inspections, and those reports are shared with CMS, which also determines whether or not they're meeting state standards. We didn't look at the criminal side for these facilities. I'm sure in some cases, if a crime has been thought to be committed, you know, the police will be mm-hmm. come in. That's just not something that we examined in our reporting.
And there are some lawsuits as well, but we didn't delve into that for this. Yeah.
Right. So, but we're talking about, according to your reporting, there's a range of serious problems, neglect of medical needs, physical, verbal, and sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. Elder abuse is a significant and serious problem there. And there is investigations going on to that all the time. So, and you have to wonder, like, are these agencies talking to each other in covering this type of situation? Did y'all do go onto these sites and take a look and talk to people? What did you find?
No, we tried to look at really how this happens and how it's reported. And what we found is that there's a state ombudsman program that there's 500, staff of 500, it's 400 of them are volunteers actually. And so they're sort of tasked with being the watchdogs and going out and visiting those homes in addition to the regulators.
And so can people report, if they see something, how would they go ahead and participate in trying to tell a regulator that this nursing home is kind of ganky and needs oversight?
There is a, and I can get that number right now, but there is a hotline that you can call, and it's anonymous, and they'll check it out. So they'll send somebody to go and really look at that. So,
Lauren Karuba, tell me more about, the reporting. You're doing, this is a deep dive, and these are people who have severe medical needs, but also nursing homes are severely stressed. They have a lot of problems right now. As far as Texas goes, the reimbursement rate for nursing homes is either one of the lowest or the lowest in the country, and employment is also a problem.
Absolutely. I think we should obviously keep in mind when we're talking about these types of instances that nursing homes are tasked with a really difficult job. They are caring for people who are incredibly frail, both physically and sometimes mentally. Mm-hmm. And they're, dealing with a population that has a lot of severe needs, both medical and probably with mental health problems in some of the instances that we looked at. In trying to give more context to the situation, we decided to do an analysis of the ratings for all of the nursing homes, not just the 5 nursing homes that had these instances. And what we found was that nearly 80% of nursing homes in San Antonio are rated as understaffed or severely understaffed, so ratings of 1 and 2 stars in that category. And that kind of indicates to us that a lot of nursing homes are kind of operating with a really bare-bones staff, and it's not unheard of for one caregiver to be taking care of like 20 people, which is obviously a really overwhelming job. And I think one of the reasons why the scores are so low in that category is because the federal government recently changed the way that they measured staffing levels. So instead of just taking self-reported numbers from the facilities, they actually have asked for the payrolls so that there's a really accurate reflection of,
they can actually verify it now.
Yeah, to verify what the
because they were inflating their staff. That's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
All right, let me take a caller. The number is 210-614-8980. Wayne, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. The story that I have is our good friend asked me to translate a note that he received from a worker in the nursing home. This note came for actually his best friend's mother. They had put her in, noticed some weird stuff was happening. They could not visit her when they wanted to. They had to call in advance. There was just some odd things. Then they received this note from the worker, and it said, you need to get her out of here because they're going to kill her. And that was really odd for me to translate that from Spanish to English, mm-hmm. but it continued and said some of the abuses that were going on. the 17-year-old son of the owner, who was a pretty well-known owner of several nursing houses, or areas, I'm sorry, and nursing homes. The worker walked in, and her son was sticking his foot into her side while she was tied into her chair. And 3 weeks into her nursing stay at that particular home, she went in with all of her facilities, just needed help. She started losing her bowels, using the bathroom everywhere, would stop talking, and they really noticed a quick decline. They finally were able to say, that note said, please get her out of here, from an actual worker. They arranged to get her out. They got her into another nursing facility, and within 2 to 3 weeks, she was talking again. She was not using the bathroom on herself, and she was able to express how horrific it was in that particular facility.
Wayne, thank you so much for calling in. That's a horrific story. I appreciate your help with that. Those folks, you may have saved that woman's life. I think the takeaway, we'll go to a break right now, but people do have rights in order to monitor what is going on in a nursing home. And then there are also red flags that people should look out for beyond the documentation that you can find online. But specifically, if you can't visit, if you can't do just a walk-in visit, then that's probably something you should pay attention to. And if you notice a sharp degrade in an individual's condition, then also you need to be asking a lot of questions. We'll be coming back with more from our Express News reporters looking at how nursing homes here in San Antonio have been flagged for some pretty big problems. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be back in 1 minute. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about nursing homes that have been flagged here in San Antonio for some troubling outcomes. These have been instances reported by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and have been reported on by the San Antonio Express News. We're joined by two of the reporters covering this story, Laura Garcia and Lauren Caraba. And you can call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, with your questions and comments about this. What have you seen with nursing homes here locally? And so, Laura Garcia, we talked about how people can report nursing homes. What did you find?
Yes. So if you're a follower on Twitter, you can go to @TPRSource and find it on there, but you can call the state's long-term care complaint and incident intake hotline at 1-800-458-9858. And callers can remain anonymous, but state officials say that if there is an emergency or a life-threatening situation that needs to be dealt with immediately, you really should call 911 or local law enforcement.
Now, we have two people who died from these situations in these flagged homes. How come that doesn't trigger an immediate sort of major investigation?
It definitely does. I think anytime you have a patient death, that's obviously considered a serious instance, and it's considered a serious thing by CMS. They call it like an immediate jeopardy type of situation, which means it's the type of incident that could jeopardize federal funding for that facility, which means they could be shut down. And the two instances that we looked at for these facilities was there was one man who was a resident of River City Care Center, and he was supposed to be on a liquid diet because he had a condition where he couldn't swallow very easily, but he also had a history of sneaking solid foods from other residents, from the trash, and had previously been sent to the hospital for choking on saltine crackers. So the facility knew that this was a behavioral issue with him where he was non-compliant with his diet, and yet after he came back from the hospital, there was no monitoring system put in place to make sure that this didn't happen again. There were no safeguards introduced in his case, and so he did ultimately get a hold of a bologna sandwich and ended up choking and dying. And in another instance, we found at a different facility there was a nurse who came across an unresponsive patient. And it seems like her account of that day ended up being under scrutiny, was not supported by documentation at the facility and the other workers. And it appears that she did not perform CPR on the unresponsive patient and ended up lying about it. And later on, it seems like she thought that because he was a hospice patient, that meant he was a do not resuscitate patient, but that was obviously not the case. And so he ended up dying at the facility as well.
Now, ownership seems to be an issue that is kind of murky when it comes to nursing homes quite often these days. What did y'all find?
It was really hard to entangle those webs. So what we found is that a lot of times they set up these limited liability companies, corporations, and then they are managed or operated by another one and affiliated with another company that are from out of town or out of state. And in some cases, they're owned by actual taxing entities like hospital districts. Like in this case, we found one of the five was owned by Uvalde Hospital District. And Bexar County, they weren't one of the five, but Bexar County also owns nursing homes. And so at one time in Texas, it was profitable because you would get rebates. So the hospitals had enough money to pay a certain amount, and then the state would give back even more on it. So it ended up being a good deal, financial sort of deal, reimbursement-wise. And that's not the case anymore, but they still own these nursing homes.
Right. So these are for-profit nursing homes.
The majority are.
There used to be a business model that made sense. It was very profitable, but now things not so much. And so as corporations are dealing with the lack of profit, they are taking it out on services in some cases.
I think something has to give is what we were, when I was talking to the ombudsman, she oversees all of the ombudsman, the really watchdog agency for that. She said a lot of these people, they mean well, the people that work there, they want to do their best, but you know, as we were seeing, there are systems that were not put in place. I think in your reporting, Lauren, you found that someone talked about the non-existent communication on staff.
Yeah, in one instance, and obviously after very serious instances like this happens, you know, investigators go in, they talk to the staff at the facility, they review records. And in one instance, an administrator was being interviewed about an instance, and he was talking about how the facility had recently been transitioning to another corporate owner, and they were having difficulty getting the staff at the facility up to the new company standards. They were having trouble making sure that they had documentation that all of the staffs there were properly trained, and he said that, you know, communication in that particular facility was difficult. That this was actually in regards to the choking incident. He said that he had not been informed of the previous choking incident for that patient, for that resident, until the day before. So he said that he would have, you know, reported it up if he had had knowledge of it. But it seems like, you know, in a lot of these cases, you see that management structures and things of that nature play a big role in how well the facility is run.
210-614-8980 is the number to call. Let's get Mike on the air. Mike, thanks for calling in. Mike, and you're on the air.
Yeah, I just had a comment on how to know if the nursing home is right for your loved one. So It's very simple. What you do is you ask one of the staff members, you ask, hey, have you guys had any cuts in staff? And if they say yes, you immediately exit that facility and you go to the parking lot and you look at the administration parking lot. And if they're all driving brand new cars of that year, then you need to get your family member out of there, because what happens is they always need to find a way to cut staff, you know, cut lunch hours. They threaten the staff, don't clock out to lunch, work past your lunch. Don't tell anybody you're working past your lunch, because that's against the law. But they never, ever seem to be able to cut that administrative salary that makes administrators drive, you know, brand new cars. So if you see brand new cars in a nursing home that has cut staff, then those administrators are making zero sacrifices for your loved one. And I know this because I'm a medical professional of 20 years. So I'm actually speaking from experience.
Mike, thank you for that tip. But what are some other ways that people can be looking at nursing homes to make sure that they are being maintained at the level that the law requires?
I think that's actually quite easy nowadays for consumers to do. CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, actually puts a ton of information online these days, both in regards to nursing homes and hospitals. So for nursing homes, you can go online to Nursing Home Compare, and that is the website that CMS keeps and where we got a lot of this information. Yeah, you can look by facility, and it will display information about how well the facility has done on recent health inspections, on fire inspections, percentages of patients who have bed sores or are sent to the ER is listed under the quality measures category. And so that kind of measures the clinical data for the facility. You can also see how they're performing on staffing levels. And that is actually where you can also actually download PDFs of the inspection reports for that facility going back a couple of years. And you can read through them. I think the reason why CMS is flagging facilities and on their profiles now in a more clear way is that, you know, that information has always been publicly available, mm-hmm. but not everybody is equipped to read through these inspection reports, which we read through them, and they're incredibly dense. In a lot of cases, they're very repetitive, and they're not written in a way that's very consumer friendly. They're more written in a way that, like, you know, for inspection and regulatory purposes. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of information that you can find for nursing homes, and you are able to kind of check out how your facility is performing in the ratings and on their inspections. A thing to keep in mind, though, is that a lot of families are often choosing a nursing home during a very high-stress time. You know, they have a loved one who probably is facing a lot of medical conditions, might have recently had a medical crisis. And so it can be a very overwhelming decision for a lot of families.
And overall, how is San Antonio doing beyond these five that y'all look at for these targeting? But overall, how is the city doing with the quality of nursing homes?
So we found that 45 of the 68 have an overall rating of below or much below average. So that's about 66%. So it's troubling. We also looked at other major metros just to kind of see how we were doing. And I think that there's a lot that we could improve on.
Okay. And so what are some other tips that people can have for looking for a nursing home? What about video monitoring? Is that something that can be done?
That's not something we looked into, but I know that the state official that I had talked to, she said, you should go and visit and talk to them and ask them, especially if you see something troubling on these reports, and if they really do want to keep your loved one's safety, and if they want to be a good steward of that, they will not be as defensive, you know. They're going to want to tell you, this is what happened, and this is what we're doing, our plan of correction.
So if I have a family member in a nursing home, and how should I be feeling about what's going on? I mean, should I be skeptical, wary? Should I be on guard?
I think, you know, anytime you're considering a really serious life decision where you're handing over the welfare of a family member to a facility, you should always be kind of maybe not on high alert, but you should definitely be asking discerning questions. I think you should definitely visit in person, just like as you would if you were picking an apartment or any other kind of place that you're going to be spending a lot of time. I would recommend that you should ask for their quality measures information. We did find that 3/4 of the facilities in San Antonio are performing well on the quality measures measure part of the ratings by CMS. So that means that they're generally doing pretty well when it comes to ER visits and bed sores and other things that are indicators of patient care.
But y'all are going to continue looking at this.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think if you think about you know, San Antonio and also the country more broadly, we're expecting a huge increase in the number of people with dementia and Alzheimer's.
People are getting
longer.
Older.
Yeah, and
a growing
we have an
population.
Aging population, right?
All right. Laura Garcia covers healthcare and industry in San Antonio and Bexar County for the Express News. Lauren Caruba covers healthcare and medicine for the Express News. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.